Hello, and welcome to the Strength to Be Human podcast with your host, author and playwright Mark Anthony Rossi. This show explores all forms of creativity for those searching for meaning and a place in the world. To err is human, but so is to love. Now, without further ado, here's your host.
Episode 20, Waking the Lion, Inside Writing, The Future of Writing. I know, I can imagine what you're thinking now. Wow, the future of writing? Well, let me put this to you this way. It'll be a mixture of opinion, fact, the truth, and obviously some educated guessing based on the trends. And I'll point that out, all right? But I think it's an interesting topic to talk about because I hear oftentimes from writers and from listeners in between the lines, you know, where is this going to go in the future? I'm concerned about right now, and it's not like the past. Those are all valid questions and I think valid feelings under the circumstances sometimes with people. They get thrown in all kinds of different directions. Social media can be very helpful and insightful when you have the right people involved, and then other times it's just a mess of everybody throwing their 2 cents in, and you know, you're still coming out with 1 cent, so not very helpful at times as well. All right, so let's go about it. I put together a little bit of a structure to the program on this because it has a couple of parts. So first part would be the introduction to all of this, the future of writing. Well, yes, it has a future, and I'm going to try to outline it based on the past to the future. This way you kind of get a bigger picture of what's gone on and where you might be playing a role in that, you know, if you want to play a role in that, because this show is, I'm telling you right now, it's upbeat, because I feel like I'm very positive about writing, but I'm also straight talking, which means that, you know, you're not always going to be getting a bowl of roses either, okay? I mean, sometimes you might get a bowl of cherries, or sometimes you might get this a bowl of whatever happens to be given to you at the moment. I mean, I got to be straight, okay? So the introduction is simply this. Writing has a future, just like it's had a present and it's had a long, long past. It's going to have a long future too. It's just that writing, more times than any other of the arts, is really going to change with the times. And it already has now, and it's going to continue to change. And that's what we're going to talk about. Writing is not the same as sculpture or oil-based painting on a canvas. I mean, quite frankly, that really hasn't changed much in hundreds of years. And then we can have a McDonald's on the moon next decade, and you're still going to be painting on a canvas. It's not going to change. I mean, if you think about it, what little has changed about that, other than maybe how the paints are mixed or how they come about. Now you can buy them more, you know, done already, and then go do your thing. But yeah, and I know some of the older painters of the past, they actually would affix the canvas to a frame that they would build themselves, and you don't have to go that far anymore. You can like buy them, you know, ready-made to go. Other than that, it hasn't changed. You need some space in the studio, you need some clothes that you don't mind getting dirty, you need some time, you know, alone from people that'll bother you, and you go painting your thing. So that's not going to change the technology or the world on painting, and same thing with sculpture, you know. But in the form of music and songwriting and writing in general, even in some instances playwriting, there are changes that have happened already and that are still coming down the pike that will alter that, and you'll either roll with those or not, and hopefully you'll still have a place, or you can still deal yourself into a place, you know, in the new world. All right, let's talk about first the past, okay? Because we can't really learn a whole lot about where we think we're going to the future with writing if we don't have an understanding of what's brought us to this point here, what's gone on in the past. All right, well, here's what's gone on in the past, okay? There used to be a number of big publishing houses, and they, just like many of businesses today, okay, you see them all over the place, you know, big franchise stores and et cetera, falling apart, going to bankruptcy, disappearing forever. Toys R Us being another big example of that. The same thing that has happened to the publishing houses over the last, let's say, 35 years, that's what's happened to a lot of these bigger businesses in the last 5 or 10 years. The same thing. They're not ready for the future. They haven't looked at the marketplace. Somehow, all these things that are going on in society, they seem to be disconnected to or not ready to take advantage of, and they get caught. The next thing you know, you're in trouble. You have to understand about a business, especially when it's a large business, folks. You look at them and you might feel intimidated, or you make jokes about how they're big about doing this and they're big to do that. Well, guess what? When they fall big too, and it can't be recovered. So don't get too excited about bigness like it's some incredible, wonderful thing that'll be there forever. Well, nothing's going to be there forever, folks. I don't even think the stars and the moon's going to be there forever. So certainly these folks are not going to be there, especially if they're living in blinders. They're not watching what's going on. And then when they fall big. Just like you might have billions of dollars to move around and market this and do that. Well, guess what? When you lose billions, those are not coming back magically either. And then next thing you know, you got to cut this, you got to cut that, or you got to cut and run and just fall apart. Go back home and do something different. So if that's happened again and again with businesses, this is really what happens with publishing. It just happened at a slower pace than some of those other businesses, especially the retail ones. They don't have, you know, decades to fix something before they have a problem. I mean, once there's a problem on the horizon, they luckily have a 1 or 2 or 3 years. They don't figure out a solution, they're done. Publishing, for the longest time, they saw what's going on, they just didn't care. They're arrogant. Remember, these are the same people that made choices for us. You know, I don't understand why, you know, I'm being pushed a book in the mid-1970s, the fifth mediocre novel from some professor who might be tenured next year. This is the kind of stuff they used to put out. This junk, establishment junk, junk from their friends, etc., etc. And that mushrooms after a while. If it wasn't for Stephen King, I mean, the publishing business probably would have died like 20 years before it died now. I mean, he helped save it in many ways. I mean, because he was just a plain-spoken, plain-writing novelist, and Hollywood kind of latched on board. And, you know, we all know some of those movies were good and some of them were not, based on some of his books. Just like some of his books were good and some of them were not. But he really got people reading again. And we should always thank him and understand that in many instances we are indebted to him, whether we like his stuff or not, whether we're into horror or not, whether we even like some of his ideas about writing or not. He really saved everybody, including that industry. You know, they would have given him a big award before they went down the tubes, because he definitely prolonged them. But they didn't have to die. But they have in many instances, and they're pretty much dead now. And that one is one of the reasons why. They did not want to focus on the public. They put too much junk out. Got a little too hoity-toity. And that's a real issue. They didn't put anything out there that lots of people really wanted to get involved in or interested in. Too many coffee table books and too many silly manuals and just a lot of nonsense. And that catches up to you after a while, because guess what? Even a publisher has to run like a business. You know, it can count on your backlist. That's the books from the past that actually sold, that keep selling, that bring more money into you. You only can count on that for so long. Quite frankly, you only can count on Stephen King for so long. You got to produce some other stuff. And that really wasn't being done. For every 1 or 2 books you might remember in the last 20 years that have sold, I guarantee they put out a couple thousand they haven't. And every time that happens, that's one more notch against them. That's one more drop in the bucket for their business that they're not getting back. Remember, the book selling business, it's not like a manufacturer of electronics or a big farm industry that sells you stuff. When you buy it from them, that's it. Whether you sell it or not, that's your business. Books are not the same thing. The books, if a publisher gives a chain of bookstore 10,000 books, they hope to God they sell the 10,000 books, but guess what? If they only sell 5,000 books of that, they're going to send the other 5,000 back to them. They're not getting that money. They're getting it sent back. So they can't count on even 10,000 books leaving their warehouse as money in the bank, because they don't know what's going to happen. That's the nature of that. So you have to have things that are going to sell. And I'm not suggesting that everything has to be some big commercial vampire, werewolf, or whatever book. What I am saying, though, is They wasn't doing a whole much to gauge the public. You know? Oh, yeah, I guess they'll keep buying that 18,000th edition of Shakespeare. Well, maybe not. And that is the issue right there. Didn't engage the public. Just kept doing what they wanted to do. Didn't engage into ebooks and so much later on. And they lost a lot of money doing that, but just ignoring that. Oh, that'll go away. Well, it didn't go away. Next thing you know, Amazon and others are eating into those as well. And then on top of that, because they have eyes like we do. They're human like we are. They're doing these same things. Oh, this won't affect my business. Really? You're binging on Netflix and you're hitting HBO every 5 minutes and you're going to the movie theater and you're going to the concerts and you're downloading this and doing that. That's not going to have a factor on your business, on your business of books. Did they do anything to help engage that at all? No, they did not. Did nothing to try to compete against it. Did nothing to do anything to counter it. This, oh, it's going to be just fine. That's just a fad. Yeah, okay. Really? It's a fad? It's a fad that we went from audio cassettes for 20-something years, and then we went to CDs, and next thing now, everything's now digital. These are not fads. These are jumps in evolution in the technology, and they affect a business like that. So, in so many different ways, the fall of the big publishers was destined to happen because they just kept writing and publishing and whatever they wanted to do, whatever, ever considering what was going out there until it affects their business to where some of them completely disappeared, others merged, others they simply did a different fashion. They said, well, we used to put out like 6,000 titles, now we're just going to do 2,000 titles. So other than screwing 4,000 writers, man, thanks folks, it didn't do any good because again, it's not about you saving some money and saving some titles to keep your business going. What are you doing even with those 2,000 titles to engage the public? Not a whole lot of anything. And that's why they have failed. And they failed us. And maybe that's not a bad thing in the end. Because what were they serving us with? Junk from academia? Silly stuff from the establishment? I mean, how many 10,000 romance novels do we actually need? Cookbooks from celebrities? I'm not even interested in cookbooks from people who are actually cooks. Thanks, I don't need that. 500 titles on how to write your own journal? You know, you write your thoughts in a little book that you can buy at the dollar store for a dollar. This is not very complicated. I need an $8 book to tell me that? Or a $15 book? Come on. This is their problem. They didn't pitch some of the other things I thought that had a much more loyal fan base. So Marvel and other places took over that. But you didn't see a lot of these big publishers, they stopped doing horror as much. They stopped, even though Stephen King was gigantic and Clive Barker and a few others. You know, they cut back on that. They cut back on science fiction. These are the things that had dedicated bases. You can't figure out a way to do this? I don't understand why we needed all these Comic-Con things. Because they're all produced by movie studio people. Why didn't the press behind that? Why didn't they get the big publishers behind that? Why didn't they say that? Hey, here's our sci-fi division. We're going to have a big convention about that. Check out our books. Meet our authors. You know, we might get a movie done over here. Da, 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 da. Here's a film of this. Da, da, da. No. Nothing creative and nothing inventive. It's like they were living in a bubble somewhere. And that's what will kill your business in the end. In a fast place in market, in a world that's moving when you're not moving at all. It's going to move right past you. And as writers, we might be disappointed, but I'm telling you, we shouldn't be. Let them die. It's what they deserved. Because they were never serving us. They were always giving us a bunch of stuff that we didn't really care that much about. And giving me these older titles, I grew up in school with them. I don't need them again. I got that. Okay? And many of those writers from the past, Jack London and Ernest Hemingway, and even some of the older ones like Stephen Crane and Nathaniel Hawthorne, we wouldn't even see those if they wasn't part of the education system. They would have been forgotten a long time ago, because it wasn't like the publishing houses were keeping that going. It was the educational system and us learning about it in basic elementary school, and it became part of the list of required reading. That was it. Otherwise, those books would have been gone. Authors like London and Hemingway wouldn't have been published. It wasn't for the old-fashioned system of publishing back then, where they just took your book because you had a network contact or you were from a well-off family or something, and they were willing to give it a try and get an editor on there and help work on it, even when you barely knew how to spell or you couldn't put together the proper grammar. If you looked at some of the original manuscripts from some of these writers, you'd have been horrified. And we're able to get that done, get that out there, and next thing you know, they're becoming a part of the required reading list. Does this make them great novelists or great writers? Probably not. It's a great story, don't get me wrong, but again, they got that. They got that system flowing, they got that whole network thing going, they had lots of people helping them. It's not the same thing anymore. Would they have survived now? Absolutely not. Nobody would have cared. Probably wouldn't even give them a second thought. I know you might want to think otherwise because you might be so fascinated and attached to them, and that's great because I got nothing against them, but the truth is the truth. A lot of these folks they didn't do what was necessary themselves. And if it wasn't for others helping them, that they never would have gotten anywhere. Now, we're in a day where we have to do all of it ourselves for the most part. Second part here we're talking about is what we have right now, the present, the democratization of writing. So let me tell you what's happened here, folks. As those big publishers and houses have fell, and places like Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Kobo and all the various electronic digital publishers are out there, well, guess what? Now anybody from your neighbor to a prisoner can write a book. Can they write it well or not? Well, who knows? Because it's not really about that anymore now. Now it's really about what you do to notify other people that it's out there. And if you can't do that, or if you're not willing to do that, well, it's not going to happen for you anyway. The publishing houses that are available right now, well, they run completely and strictly as a business. They're no longer caring about literature or publisher anymore. You got a few people here and there and there, they're probably overwhelmed. They're almost never going to see any of your stuff, even with an agent. Because the agent is only going to get paid if your book sells. That's it. And that's how they boost up their own career and their own bottom line. So they're not interested in some really neat story about, you know, how your grandmother tricked a Japanese general into giving her the secrets of World War II. Okay? They're not going to care about that. They want the next Divergent or the next Harry Potter or that sort of thing. The next whatever Stephen King is possibly doing. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for some kind of generic theme of that. Because in the end, that's just enough maybe for them to get something sold. And then maybe possibly they could do movie rights. You'd be amazed on how many agents, well, I've spoke to, who I've actually friends with a couple of them. They tell me, Mark, if we could just get a decent enough salable, because that's the key word they use in them is all of their vocabulary, salable. Meaning that it's something that can sell. If they can get something sellable out there and get the publisher to do it, you know, we're going to rush over there and try to get the movie rights. Because in the end, that's where the real money is made for both the agent and for the writer. They make more money off of selling the movie rights or the TV rights or the network rights than anything else. Because they don't know what the future of the book is going to be. It might just flop after a while. You're going to get a very small advance at that if you get one at all. I remember we talked about in the previous episode, my friend, and all the horrible two-year journey he had trying to get the book done and all the marketing he was forced to do and spending his own money that he did it based on the advance they gave him and, you know, how much almost ruined his marriage and his family and his writing career. All in 2 years of hell. So keep all of that in mind. You now can do anything you want. You're free to do so. We all wanted that freedom. Well, there you go. But unfortunately, what folks sometimes forget about freedom is freedom is not free. And it's not with you sit in the basement and everything's done for you. Those days are gone. And that's one of the problems right now with writers today is they got this 1950s mentality about how they're going to just sit there one day with a word processor, going to bust out a novel in a couple months, get some girl on the social media to edit it or proofread it, whatever, for $500 or whatever outrageous money they ask you for. We'll have another show on that one day. It's a whole nother subject. And they're going to send it, And somehow Age is going to say, wow, this is awesome. And then this is going to sit back and make sure the address is correct as those checks are rolling in. Yeah. That is a bad Showtime movie, folks, but it has nothing at all to do with reality. That stuff doesn't happen. And if you hear that, that it did happen, someone's lying to you, okay? It doesn't happen. And on the very off acceptable chance that one time that might happen, that doesn't mean it's going to happen for the rest of us. It's extremely rare. It's probably non-existent, okay? Because I hear these stories all the time. And I remind people, just like in the business world, folks, you got to look at it this way. Because now, you're no longer just a writer. Now, you're a writer. Slash agent. Slash psychological counselor. Slash marketer. Slash soothsayer. I mean, really. And now, you have to consider the business world and what they have to say about something like this. And keep this in mind. Because they're not all wrong about everything they do. They might not be all right, but they're not all wrong either. And when they use that, which it used to sound like a silly quote a long time ago, but once I happened to start managing lots of people, it made a whole lot of sense, boy. You can't manage by exception. And what that simply means is that if you're operating a plant or you're operating an office or you're operating a car lot with 100 people that are in your employment, you can't manage them by the few things that might possibly go wrong. Or the few times that somebody's going to call out sick, or the off chance that this job is not fitting with somebody's child care schedule. You have to manage by what is the common sense things, the things that make the most sense, the straightforward things. You can't manage by exception. And therefore, you can't be writing by exception either, thinking that, oh, the heck with Mark and everybody else says, I think I'm going to be that one person that's going to get that thing through. That's great. We'll all visit you in about 5 years later when you're pulling your hair out and you still got the same book in your hand because you haven't gone anywhere with it. That's just not going to work anymore. So you might want to abandon those kind of ideas. The democratization of writing and publishing is simply this. You got to do it all. Now, don't get me wrong. It is possible for you to still get a deal out there. It's just extremely hard. It takes enormous amount of work. What often has to get done, and this is something that John Patrick Robbins says a lot of the times, because this is what he actually does, is he gets a project out there, and then he spends 3 to 6 months marketing it. No more writing, no more anything, just going out there to do that. This is the sort of strategy everybody has to have if they're looking to really be successful. Folks, if this is just some sort of hobby for you, you want to get a couple things out there, you're happy with that, that's cool, don't worry about it. You could probably shut off the show now and go have a sandwich. This is not about you then. But if you're looking to do something real with it, and that don't necessarily mean that you're going to quit your job and now you're going to make income from this. That's still very, very hard to do too. But I mean, just in terms of you're getting the book out there, it's selling, you're getting some reviews, maybe you make a couple pesos from it, nothing to write home about, but something that you feel that, hey, I got my stuff out there. People listening, they're reading it. I'm getting some money. Maybe that's all it does, and I go do another project one day. That's fine. That's what this is about. That's generally the most of the experience that most people are going to have. You have to work. It's no longer just some wonderful literary fantasy, and you're in some cool cabin up in the woods, and with a cigar and a cob pipe and some Twinkies and some Kool-Aid. It's no longer that. It's real work. Requires thinking and being creative and managing your time right. Even managing your body right, because you're going to be doing a lot of work. It's going to be requiring some networking, sometimes on the social media, sometimes with other magazines, newspapers, going out there and make some speaking things happen. They're trying to drum up some support, maybe get some interviews, even maybe on this interview on this show maybe one day. Or are there others as well too? That's what it requires. And if you're not able to do that, or you're not willing to do that, well, that's fine. No one says you can't put that book out there, which might be fabulous, by the way. But no one's going to know about it, and no one's really going to read it then. It's just that simple. Okay? So that freedom, it's not free, takes a lot of work. That's the kind of playing field we have now. If you want to counter against the ruthless businessmen that ran publishing for the longest time, only published what they wanted to publish, you know, which is just a select group of really society, to be honest with you. They wasn't publishing all kinds of different people. Well, now that it's open to everybody, well, you wanted it, well, you got it. Now you got to run with it. If you don't run with it, well, it's going to run you over, or it's just going to forget about you, because it's only going to respond to the things that are out there that are making the most noise. If you can't do that, well, you're not going to just go anywhere with it. It's just that simple. I hear this all the time. I don't even understand the mentality, because I would think people already are aware of this. You'd think they would have known by now what's going on. I don't know if they're in denial or are they really just that distant from reality. Okay? There isn't any such thing as self-promotion. That's some stupid label from, 10 decades ago. When it wasn't supposed to be polite to promote yourself and others supposed to do it, otherwise it's not legitimate. What others are there now for them to do that, okay? Other than maybe a couple radio shows, some interview shows, you might get some print interviews as well, a couple editors, a few people maybe book review for you, maybe even a couple establishments might do so. That's maybe the most you're going to get, and even that is not easy. It requires work to get your stuff out there for them to know. Maybe for every book reviewer out there, especially if you don't have an ebook but a print book, for every reviewer out there, you're spending the time and the money just to get that to them. That could be a complete loss. You might send 25 books out. You might get like 2 reviews. Who paid for those 23 books? I'm telling you, it's not your fairy godmother, okay? It's either a publisher who's only going to go so far with that, only can go so far with that, and expecting you to do a whole lot more. Or it's yourself doing it on your own dime. And now you have to say, holy moly, that's 23 books that went out the window. What did they do with them? It's not like you can write them a note. Hey, if you don't really want to review this, or if you're just too busy, can you send it back? It cost me like $8. But even though that happens to be the truth, you can't do something like that. So you have to keep in mind that you have to run it like a business. And you can't be worrying about all this nonsense about, I can't say this, I can't do that, I don't want to do that. Well, then you're just not connected to the way books are. It's never, folks, never, never, and I'll say it again, never, going back to the past. That's never going to happen. Those places are not coming back. I was talking to somebody in publishing recently, and they told me something that it never occurred to me until they said it. I'm like, well, it makes complete sense now. They said, yeah, we actually try to grab some books that we don't even think are going to do well. Sometimes we like just publishing celebrity books that we know we're not going to sell, and we don't even care if we give them a big upfront fee to do it, because we'll just write it off as a business expense and a loss. So we'll still handle our taxes, because remember, we're owned by another company. So it all melds together. So sometimes these publishing houses that are owned by these bigger companies, they don't care. They don't want to add too many books. They don't care about the losses. They don't care how bad they're doing. They just write it off. It's not a big thing to them. That's all they really are in the end, a write-off. So you can't count on somebody like that. That's literally their business principle is to fail. Well, what is yours? Because we know what theirs are. They don't care about literature anymore. It's all about businesses. It's all about some tell-all or some stupid celebrity cookbook, you know, or some scandal about something in government. I mean, I'm paying these taxes and I'm voting because I'm expecting the government to be better than this. I got to pay more money now to read a scandal? Gee, thanks. Now you're not helping me at all. You're certainly not helping the arts or literature at all. So you have to be better than that, because they're not. They're never going to have your back. They're not interested in your back. If anything, they don't care about your success. They don't even care about their success. That's the problem here, folks. That's why you got to stay away from that. Now, don't get me wrong, there's been some examples, and I'm sure there'll be more in the future, where people self-published and they did their old marketing thing. But remember, they did their marketing thing, they got out there, they did everything they possibly could, and eventually a company came to them and said, I see this is doing well enough, and people are talking about it, and why don't you come on board with us? You could do that. That can happen. It's happened with ebooks too. You just have to be careful about what kind of contracts they're doing. And what they can really do, what kind of marketing you're going to really put into it, you know, because you have to wonder then what the trade-off is going to be. Because remember, if you market your book well enough and you've kept the cost down and you did it all by yourself and you do about 5,000 units, that's a lot of profit in your pocket. And you have to wonder what a big company is going to do. It's because they're big doesn't mean you're getting big money. You know, when they're telling you 7% royalties and they're not giving you much up front and you still got to do a whole lot of marketing, they're making all the money and you're not. You'd be better off doing it yourself. So you have to understand what those trade-offs are and whether you want to do it or not. They're no longer the objective. That's no longer the top thing anymore. The top thing is for you to take control of your project and get the best thing going for it. If that means that your marketing and your plan is working, you might not need them. If it's working so well and they ask you, hey, can you come on with us? Well, then you better go get a lawyer or an agent that's going to really fight for making sure you're going to get the right kind of money and making sure that they're going to be behind it the right way, not just letting you do everything and giving you chump change. That's what you got to be careful of. Now, what is the future writing? I know it sounds like a big topic and a big thing to think about. And for some of us, maybe it's even a scary thing because sometimes I don't really like the way things are going now. But this is what freedom's all about, folks. Freedom is not one of those words you have in a hippie concert and everybody's just doing whatever they want. And, you know, it's almost like the word freedom or the term freedom is supposed to be some kind of, area of irresponsibility and everything's being taken care of for you. That's not freedom, though. That's silliness. Freedom means you got to be an adult. You got to handle your own business. You got to do it right. And it comes with responsibilities. It's just that simple. And a lot of times I think folks, they're stuck in that fantasy world. They're stuck in that fantasy world of the 50s where all this stuff's being done for them. That doesn't happen anymore. That's why these vanity presses, why they get away with so much. Because people are stuck in a fantasy world. Oh, I thought this is how it's supposed to be. Really? You thought this, you're supposed to give some weirdo $6,000 of your money? To do what? They haven't done anything, any kind of research about how the world or publishing actually works. Even today's publishing. There's nobody asks you for money. You're going to be doing your own marketing anyway. And they're usually almost not going to give you any money. It'll come if you actually sell something. Otherwise, that's the deal. A year or two later, you don't even have a contract with them anymore. And that's how long it takes to get one, if you can get one at all. That's real publishing. That's what really goes on. There's no shortcut. And that's really the problem with, I think, humanity in general right now, and especially the human condition. We don't want to do the work. We want all these shortcuts. And that's why you find all these people losing all their money and their life savings on these stupid scams and pyramid schemes. What do they fall for? Because they thought they were shortcut. They could beat the system and get lots of money, and they're being robbed. Why these people still have health problems and weight problems? Because they're doing all these dumb things. Yeah, eat grapefruit every other third Thursday, and then do some walnuts, and stretch your arms a couple of times, and you're going to lose 100 pounds. No, you're not, okay? But you just paid somebody $300, $400 for this. Or be a slave to a bunch of mail-in food stuff that comes to you. You know, perfectly proportioned. And if you do a little exercise with it, maybe you'll keep some weight off. But guess what? You're a slave to that system now for the rest of your life because you're so conditioned to it. You're paying these people hundreds of dollars. So I don't know what you're saving. And if it means that much to have 30 pounds off of you, I guess you're stuck being that way. But there are other ways to do things correctly. I don't know, like eat right and exercise. Shake in less and your body burn the rest off. This is not complicated science, folks. But people out there, they're ready for you. They're ready to give you a story. They're ready to take your money because you're looking for a shortcut. That's what happens in writing too many times. You know, I got people here all day long. I read a poem. Sometimes I'm messaging them. Hey, this is pretty good. Why aren't you out there like publishing? Oh, no, I can't take all that rejection stuff. I'd rather have this instant, recognition. Really? Five guys saying that, they like your poem. That's all it takes for you. And you're right. Maybe you shouldn't send your stuff out there and don't even consider yourself a writer. Maybe you consider yourself a scriber or something, because writing is taking a risk. Writing is going out there and doing what's necessary to support your work, to back your work up so that other people can eventually see that. It means going through hell to get to heaven. It means going through a fire sometimes without any shoes on, because the sacrifice for you to get the damn thing published was that you had to sell your shoes. It's just that serious. And if you're not that passionate, you're not that interested in it, it's never going to be for you. You're never going to get anywhere with it. So it's really important to keep that in mind now more than ever before, because so much of what's necessary for writing is now in your hands. It's now in your backyard. You can't trip it off to somebody anymore. Now, I know they got people out there that do that. You know the fast way to get attention as a writer on the social media, especially Facebook? Just say, I need to hire an editor. I need to rent a proofreader for a few minutes. You'll have 98 people on top of you over here. Yeah, here's my services. I'm affordable. Here's how I do this and I do that. Well, they're all going to disappoint you. They're going to take your money. They're no better than vanity publishers. You have to do things yourself. It's part of what's necessary for you to be a better writer. How can you be a better writer if somebody else is helping rewrite your stuff? You could get a proofreader to do that any day for free. Beta readers do that all day long for free and vice versa. And then you help somebody else one day. That's how you give back to the artistic community. You could probably have a brother or sister or cousin or somebody. They don't have to be creative people. They don't have to be writers. Just readers. Hey, I found like 18 words here you spelled wrong in this manuscript. Thanks. Poop. Appreciate that. That's really helpful. Why do you need to spend $200 for somebody to do that? Who's to say that for that $200 they're going to find every word that's wrong? You know how many people tell me? Yeah, I spent $200 and they still didn't find everything. It's crazy. Part of doing that yourself is how you become a better writer. You learn your own mistakes. You try to avoid them next time you're writing something. You might actually see some passages where I'm like, well, forget about spelling this thing. I just think now I can rewrite this in even a better way. Or I think I can improve this. Or I think I should go that with the character. This because you're in it again. You're not putting off to somebody else. Oh, I'm done. You're not done. You're done when you have a publisher who says they want your work, who you're not putting any money out to. They're putting money out to you eventually, and they're going to do something to help you get it marketed, if some of them even do that at all. A lot of them don't, and you still got to do that yourself. But that's pretty much when you're done, at least on the principal part of the book. The other part is the whole marketing, and that actually is a lot more, much more complicated than just writing a book. And that's my next section of this show is the future of writing, and part of it is marketing, folks. That's who you're going to be after the book is done. You don't get to stop to be a writer anymore. You now have to be a business person and an editor and a proofreader and a press agent and a press releaser. And that's right. Even an agent. You have to do all those things. And there's nothing wrong with that. You might even get a couple people who can give you a hand now and then. Send this out for you, do that, or whatever. But in the end, you have to be in charge of that. That's how you get things done. That is really going to be the future of writing. And I know this might sound like an incredible statement. God knows I'm not trying to make it dreary or anything. But the truth of the matter is that this is already happening now. The best writers, they're not getting anywhere because they're not marketing. They don't want to deal with that. Oh, I don't like that. All right, well, I guess you don't really like your writing going anywhere then. Put it in a closet or in, you know, put it in one of those toy chests somewhere like Emily Dickinson. Maybe somebody will find it in 100 years. Put it on a flash drive. I mean, the aliens, when they come to Earth, well, they'll decode it, and maybe you can become famous in another galaxy. But you're not going to get famous on Earth because you're not doing anything here on Earth, and that's the problem. You have to do that if you want to go somewhere. That is the future of writing, folks. You have to get more involved, and you have to stay involved until this actually happens. And guess what? Over the course of time, it becomes easier. You become better as a writer. Become better as a proofreader, you become better as an editor, you become better as a marketer. People start knowing more about you, you become better at it. It won't be so hard next time. But you got to put all that serious work in if you want to go someplace. You got to let go of the fantasy of the past. There wasn't even true in the past, let alone now. You find out all the help that these writers had. Alcohol rehabilitation, straightening out their images, giving them clothes because they didn't know how to wear regular clothes because they're like just simply drunk idiots, editing their stuff left and right. It was said that Hemingway was so bad as an actual writer that it took a team of three people to get his stuff up to snuff. He had the story down. I mean, he knew what he was doing. He was still a man of education and intelligence, but he was lazy and horrible in many ways, too. You can't do that anymore. You'll get caught and you're done. We don't have that kind of privilege anymore. We don't have that kind of luxury anymore. That life doesn't exist anymore. That's just a fantasy from the past. It wasn't even true then. If he was up to any kind of standards of the 1970s, let alone the 2000s, he would have been done already. They got away with a whole lot that we can't get away with anymore, because now we have freedom, now we have responsibility, now we have to have a work ethic. You can't be laying around all day doing nothing and wondering why the novel isn't where it's supposed to be at. You have to actually do something. You have to get to it. You have to manage your time. You have to go out there. You have to make connections. So, guess what? The best writers, even today, they're not going to make it. You know who's going to make it? The best marketers. That's who's going to make it. I talk to them all the time. A couple of them even send me a few projects. I'm not putting them on my show because this isn't a 60-minute infomercial for somebody's, you know, financial gig or new health thing about meditating your way to weight loss. Yeah, okay, whatever. God forbid you run and then lose some weight. Let's just meditate our way to it, okay? Not even good writing, folks. The books, to me, they're silly. But guess what? Those guys and those girls, they do extremely well because they market themselves and they figured out what to do. But that's their life. Their life is more marketing than it is writing. They go to all the conventions. They do all the network things. They go to all the writing gigs and all the different conferences and schools. And some of them even go to cafes, put their cards out. I mean, they do all kinds of stuff. Get on the shows, everything. This is my book. This is this. This is that. Eventually, you do that enough on anything, it's going to start selling. Whether it's good or not, who knows? I'm not even sure if anyone even cares anymore. I know when it comes to those types of products, they're not even real writers, but they wrote the thing. And in some cases, a couple have told me I came up with the sketch for it, Mark, and then they had a ghostwriter who I paid do it, because in the end, I'm going to go market and get my money back and more anyway. Now, I'm not suggesting, folks, that this is what you should do as a literary writer. I'm a literary writer, too. I am suggesting, though, that what they're doing now that's working, there are elements of that that you're going to have to simply get involved in and copy and do. There's no way around it. Simply none. There isn't. Unless you want maybe possibly win a couple writing awards, get a couple bucks from that, maybe get an academic press to pub a book out and be happy with that. And maybe just, I don't know, work in the education system and say I got a couple titles and just live that way. If that's what you want to do, there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. If you're looking to do something more, you have to do more. You have to adopt what some of these marketing people are doing. So I try to keep an eye on what's going on. I don't want to do half the stuff they want to do. Don't get me wrong. So I'm not giving you anybody here a hard time about this. I'm just telling you these are the facts. And this is the truth of how a lot of this works. I'm not interested in networking my life away on a physical basis where I'm literally taking a train or a plane or going to all these places to hawk this thing because that's all I do all day long. This is that become their life. That's what they do. That's what they have to do. God bless them. I'm not mocking them, but that's not what I'm interested in. But I do understand that I cannot be, and neither can you, 100% detached from what they're doing, what they're talking about. Yeah, you do got a network. You might not have to go as far as what they're doing, but you do got to. Whether it's social media or emailing or old friends from a fraternity or military or whatever. You do. Because if you don't employ the people you know, you don't try to get people out there to get interested, you're not going to go anywhere. You have to learn about how to write press releases. It's not like someone's going to do it for you. So it's very important for you to do that as well. Get them out there. It's not hard to do. You probably don't know this, and it's still true to this day, especially in the age of fake news, as they say. But and the reason why they say this is because of this. There was a social writer by Liam Lewis Latham. He wrote a number of interesting books. But he was fond of saying that 75% of the news is simply just a whole bunch of junk that someone took off a press release. They thought it was interesting enough, so they'd make it into a news story. Half the times it wasn't even checked. How do you know anything I just put in this press release is even true or not? They're not even checking it half the times. If it's interesting enough, they're going to run it as a story. That's sad for the news, and I'm not surprised, but again, you don't know what arts and culture section of a newspaper or a magazine or whatever. The email's all over the internet. It's not hard to do some research, write it all down, shoot them over a press release. Hey, Mrs. Cynthia, I got this book over here. It's about a vampire that likes being a vampire, but he has psychic visions and he wants to try to save the world because if the world dies, then he doesn't have enough people to bite anymore in the neck. So can you check this out? It's a good spin on vampire stuff. You never know. They might go for that. I just made all that stuff up, by the way, but I'm just saying in general, that sort of thing out there. You know how to write a press release? Guess what? There's 1,000 examples on the internet for free. Go ape one of those, adjust it to what you want, and go put it out there. Not hard to do. You literally email stuff, and it goes to people. They might pick your book up. They might pass it along. You never know what will happen. You don't. I know what will happen if you don't. Well, nothing will happen. That's the problem. You got to go and do something. That takes a little bit of legwork. There's no special book out there with everybody's email address. You just sit all day pushing a button for press releases, okay? You have to work at it. Find the international newspapers and magazines. Find all the addresses of various people you want to shoot to. Write them all down. Go over there. Send them all out individually. Takes work. But it could really pay off. It's another way to market your book. I don't care what kind of book it is. Poetry book, fiction book, monster book, whatever. You got a good book? That's one way to do it. Sometimes, by getting even a little bit of press from that, not only can it help sell the book you have, but it might even help you attract attention to somebody else, another publisher maybe that you've been trying to get a hold of. You can take that clipping. Hey, I got these people checking this out. I got these people writing about it. I'm trying to sell it over here. I'm trying to do it over there, blah, blah, blah. They see that. They see you got a plan. Well, you might be able to jump on into the next wagon of success. But it's not going to happen if you're not out there doing what you should be doing. Getting involved in your own writing and pushing it. That is the future of writing. Freedom, work, marketing. Does it mean guarantee success? No. The only thing guaranteed is you're going to fail if you don't do any of this. You're going to have to write the book and maybe six of your cousins and your two brothers and possibly eight of your girlfriends from the sorority are going to buy it, and that's what you're going to get for the year. I mean, that's just the hard truth of it all. So if you want to do more, you're going to get more. If you don't want more, then don't worry about any of this then. But if you do, that's going to be the future. And keep that in mind, because writing continues to change as the technology is changing. You got people right now that they're doing their poems on YouTube. Well, you know, I'm an old Italian guy, so no one wants to see us on a screen unless they're putting a body in somebody's car and speaking a bunch of mob language. Otherwise, I don't think I'm going to be doing any of that, you know, in any kind of serious way, other than maybe try to advertise a show. My son's been wanting to do a little clip of me doing that, put it on YouTube, just remind people the show's out there. We'll see. I mean, I'm nervous. Just because I tell you all these things doesn't mean I'm not human like everybody else. And, you know, maybe my hairline won't be impressing anybody either. But, hey, I'm going to give it a shot because, you know, I love my son and he might be right. But I'm not going to go too far. Some people, they make a whole video out of it. God bless them. That's not for me. But it is an avenue if you're interested. You know, especially if you're a lot of these people on social medias with books. I mean, you see the photographs, they're pretty photogenic. Well, maybe you should do something like that then. You know? Nobody wants to see an old guy, but hey, they might want to see a nice-looking girl promoting a book. Why not? You know what I mean? Or maybe even a nice-looking guy. I'm sure there's a couple of them out there, but I'm not much of a judge for that. And of course, the technology continues to change in many directions for writing into the future. If you think about this, and these are just my opinions, my little projections, but I think in the strictest sense, if you're not really writing with a pen on a piece of paper, are we really writing anymore? Are we just typing because we're doing it on a phone or on a laptop? Or, you know what I mean? There's still a couple of us that are using those electric typewriters. Don't know why, but I guess they like them. But are we really writing or are we just typers? Are we writers or are we typers? Well, the future might be that this continues on forward. There's some programs right now where you can actually speak into it and it starts writing for you. It's been used a lot more for people who have various ailments or disabilities. But who knows if that becomes more standard in the future, where you just sit there and just like, you know, Mary had a little lamb and fleece is white as snow and, you know, and it just writes it for you. And then you just go over there later on into the screen and do some editing and stuff. So you might be doing more of that and less of typing. You never know with writing. I really think that speaking thing is going to probably take off more and more. Especially when things become a little bit more automated. Wouldn't surprise me. there's a couple of countries, I know Russia and Japan, they're trying to work on things where you can think certain things and it'll come out and write things. So imagine thinking stuff and have it written. I don't even know if half of us wants our thoughts on that screen, because that's the whole point of editing and being creative in the first place, is because you get a lot of wild, crazy stuff over there. But you never know. Thinking can also be another form of art in the future, and how it's put into words. Or maybe into programs that even actually use words to signal for colors, and you can create all kinds of multi-visual art things. I mean, it's real possible that this is going to happen in the years ahead, and writing is going to probably change in another direction. I mean, it could be real possible, just like the way things are going right now with cable and satellite television, where eventually everything is just going to be streaming. Movie theaters will probably vanish. There might be just a couple out for special events now and then, but you know, our children's children won't even have that experience anymore. It'll just be a package that you pay for a certain fee, and you get these channels, and that's it, because it'll all be streamlined. So these people might not even exist anymore. You know, they might not. We might have just companies that are hubs, that if they think your writing's really good and you just sign a deal with them, and they create the books, and they try to put them out there for you, maybe little advertising, maybe some ebook stuff, maybe a little bit of a combination of print stuff as well. And then if that works out, you keep going. If not, then you're done, and possibly you could do something else in the future. But those houses, they're going to be completely gone in the next 10 years. They're not even going to exist anymore. So writing is going to be a very, very different thing. But I could tell you, it's not going to be an easier thing. It's going to be harder in terms of how we approach it. We have to be more involved. We have to think more. We have to be more invested in it than ever before, because in many ways it's just becoming another interesting job to entertain people, to inform people, to help creatively expand their mind. Well, there's a lot of work to get done with that. But the future of writing, I still say, amongst all the things I've been saying, is very bright. But it's bright for people that want it to be bright. If they don't really care and they just want to be stuck in the past, you're happy to do so. That's what part of a free society is. I'm okay with that. I'm not going to spend any time lecturing anybody who's not interested, who only wants to go so far. That's fine. I don't make fun of those people. That's what you've set in terms of your parameters. You're free to do so as a human being. But those that want to do something more, you can't sit here and write diatribes on social media about how the world's unfair. Really? When was it fair? It's been unfair since the beginning of time. And one day when we get silenced out into the space and we're gone, it'll be unfair. Okay? It's all a question about how you can make it fair. There's a billion success stories out there. There'll be a billion more. The whole point is some of those billions of people who are going to be successful doing this, are they going to be writers? Or are they just going to be entrepreneurs? Are they going to be writers, or are they just going to be really good marketers? Are they going to be writers, or are they just going to be slick businessmen that they're able to figure out a way to get their word out? Maybe in some instances, as a writer, you might have to ape a little bit of all what I just talked about. Maybe you have to be a bit of a business person, a bit of a slick marketer, a bit of a talker or an interviewer, put yourself out there. But I don't know anymore, folks, the shy writer, how that works out. I can't see it. Unless you're like IQ of 700 or something, and you're just brilliant beyond all of us, make Shakespeare look ignorant, I don't see how your shyness helps at all. It only hurts what you're trying to do. And that doesn't really help all of us in the end, because quite frankly, every time one of us goes somewhere, it helps other people. I know you might not see it that way, and we have plenty of people out there that don't want to see it that way. They think it's just them, or think it's some kind of incredible competition. Well, it really isn't. Even though you might have to be a bit of a business person, a bit of a marketer, a bit of a promoter to get your stuff out there, you don't have to be some incredible business competitor not to do any of this. You don't have to be saying, all those other writers, they're my imminent enemies. They're not. They're comrades. They're good people. They're your brothers and sisters in writing. It's just each one have to decide on how far you want to go and what you want to do. But it can't be about knocking down somebody. And it certainly can't be about thinking something's wrong with them because they're doing something that you're not comfortable with. That's what this show is all about. And that's what this episode's all about. The future of writing. it's going to be what you make it. It's really going to be that simple. And that is my final thought, folks, until the next show. Thank you very much for being with me. God bless.
Thank you for listening. Please follow the show and visit our blog at strengthtobehuman.blogspot.com.